Hey there, I'm George Sedano, a name you might recognize from crushing the competition on Around the Horn. And a voice you might recognize from ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. Oh, and let the record show that I also got Spurs coach Greg Popovich to smile once during a sideline interview. So you're going to be hearing a lot of different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm one of them. I'll be with you the rest of the week, helping this podcast do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories in audio, day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Nick Friedell, you were in Cleveland for game one of the Cavaliers' first round playoff series against the New York Knicks, a 101-97 Knicks victory. But what was the atmosphere like in that building in Cleveland?
It was really loud. And George, you and I have covered a lot of games there through the years. In the beginning, in that moment just before tip-off, you're thinking, okay, starting to sound like the old days a little bit here in Cleveland.
Cleveland, the number one defensive team in the NBA during the regular season, the sixth best home team in the NBA. Packed house, standing room only here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in downtown Cleveland.
My entire day and experience in there was encapsulated when one of the Cleveland writers looks at me maybe around the third into the fourth quarter and goes, you know, it's a little different in here without LeBron. And while there is a ton of excitement in Cleveland and there are a ton of happy Cavs fans seeing a young team starting to kind of come into its own, it is noticeable that this doesn't feel like life and death anymore out here. It feels like a cool basketball team that's starting to improve, but with LeBron, there was just a different edge about all this. For so long, it was, well, what does LeBron want? And what is he going to have us do this time? And who does he want us to add? And what can we do to make sure that he's feeling good about the direction that we're going? As far as the Cavs go now, it does feel like they're looking at things and they're going, you know what? We want players who want to be here, and we want players who want to grow with us together.
You started to allude to it there a moment ago, but the significance of this year's playoff run specifically, what is the feeling around the organization, the players, et cetera?
This is the start of a new beginning. Being in there for game one and seeing the excitement, it really felt like a team and a fan base that had to kind of readjust to the playoff stage again. You saw Donovan Mitchell. He looked like he had been there before. The rest of those guys, there were moments in time you're going, well, what the hell are they doing out there? This was a group that really had to shake off some nerves, some cobwebs of not understanding maybe the gravity of the moment and how much these games mean. And as far as the fan base goes, I think people were looking around and they were excited, but they were reminded in those moments of just how far that climb is between making the playoffs again and being a team that has a legit chance to go and win a title.
You could be forgiven for not recognizing the Cleveland Cavaliers team that you watched lose in game one to the New York Knicks, 101-97. It's been a long time since they've hit the hardwood in a postseason without a guy named LeBron James front and center, after all. But it's a new era in Cleveland, with a new lead star in Donovan Mitchell, and a young, exciting core looking to write its own chapter in Cleveland basketball lore. So today, ahead of game two, Nick Friedell joins the show to tell us how this team came together and what they have on the line this postseason. I'm George Sedano. It's Tuesday, April 18th. This is ESPN Daily.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, Nick, so I want to start from the beginning. How did the Cavs first approach the post-LeBron era?
I think when they go back in time, it went back into, in a lot of ways, George, control and trying to team build when you know you don't have the number one guy in the league. And it was one of the questions I think people in the organization had. And one of the things they learned from the LeBron experience was, we want people who want to be here. I think the Cavs had two key points: draft talented players and put them in their system and help them become the best player they could be, while also getting players in place that wanted to be with them for the long haul. And then you've got assets that you build up for the big swing of getting a star in place. And those assets became Donovan Mitchell.
Cleveland was essentially a laughingstock for the first few years of this rebuild. But when did things start to turn around?
I think you could feel it, George, last season. They're playing hard. They've got a coach in J.B. Bickerstaff. It was clear that not only the front office believed in, but the players had started to respond to. And you could see the growth in that group. You could see guys like Jared Allen taking a step in their career. You could see Darius Garland starting to come into his own. And that's a team last season that got into the play-in. And the seeds that were planted led into the summer and into the deals that were made. And then you start to see the progression into this season where the Cavs, for the most part, were one of the more consistent teams in the Eastern Conference.
So they made the play-in last season, as you mentioned, and they flipped the momentum from that into a trade where they sent their 2018 first-round pick, Colin Sexton, to Utah in exchange for superstar Donovan Mitchell. What did a bold move like that say about the front office's confidence in this particular team?
They believed that it was time to take the swing. And George, in the NBA, you and I live this on a daily basis. You can have the best team in the world as far as organizationally being built and feeling good about a direction that you have. But if you don't have that superstar player, you don't have a legit chance to win an NBA championship. And so Kobe Altman and in that ownership group of the Cavs thought, here's our chance. We've got a guy who is getting out of Utah. There was so much hype. George, there was so much hype about Donovan Mitchell coming to New York. But then, seemingly out of nowhere, here come the Cavs, and they make this move, and everybody kind of goes, Cleveland? What? How did this happen?
We had a Woj bomb yesterday to the NBA. The Jazz trading Donovan Mitchell to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cavs understood the world of NBA basketball in 2023. You have to have the star that everybody else wants to build around.
Here's Mitchell. He just blew right past Levine. Mitchell to the basket.
Donovan Mitchell show.
And they believe that Mitchell is that type of star.
Mitchell wants it. He gets it. Mitchell steps back. He knocks it down.
And they believed that if they could continue to win, he would want to stay for the long term.
Mitchell for three.
Oh, unbelievable.
My
And beyond Mitchell, when you look at the way the rest of this roster has been built, they hit gold in the draft with Garland and Mobley. An all-star in Garland and a guy who looks like he could become an all-star caliber player, respectively, in Mobley. They also got Jared Allen as part of the initial three-team trade that sent James Harden to the Nets.
I spent so much time around that Brooklyn team in the last year. People miss Jared Allen terribly. So many people in that Nets organization, like, you don't understand. He was the type of guy that you want everybody else to be around. He set a tone for everybody else. So Jared Allen is a huge part of this Cavs turnaround. And you mentioned Mobley. George, when you talk to people across the league, Evan Mobley's that guy that they believe can take the leap. And if you are a team like Cleveland and you have all these top picks that you're hoping to build into the next great team in the Eastern Conference, if you believe it, Mobley has to turn into one of those next top-tier players that everybody else sees and goes, yep, he's a star on a team that can win a championship.
Our own Jay Billis compared him and his ceiling potentially to Chris Bosh, a Hall of Fame type player at that position. It'll be curious to see if that manifests itself. But let's get back to Mitchell here. Obviously, in his first season, the experiment went pretty well, considering Cleveland has the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. What does he bring that puts this particular young team over the top?
This is where you hand the ball to a star player at the end of a game, George, and you say, go do it. And as far as the Cavs are concerned, that is the hope that Donovan Mitchell, not only in the playoff series, but in time, can be the type of star that closes games, can be the type of guy who gives the rest of the group confidence that, hey, everything will be okay. We've got Donovan. And that's why they were so confident in sending all the pieces that they sent to make it happen.
You talk a lot about the shadow of LeBron James in Cleveland. What have the players you've talked to said about building their own legacy there in Cleveland?
They're excited about the challenge. And I'll give you a few examples, George. Darius Garland had me cracking up. He said, look, I've been here 4 years. I've seen the highs and lows of all of this. I respect the hell out of what LeBron did for this team, for this town, and what he accomplished through all the years. But George, then he looks at me and he goes, but I came from a Kobe household. Then you flash forward to a guy like Danny Green, and he's won a couple titles. He knows what it takes to be within a group that wins and a culture that wins all the time. And George, he's been in Cleveland for a couple months. He's still adjusting to what's going on, but he said, hey, I understand it. There's almost a little brother complex because you want to show that you can win even if your big brother isn't hanging around. And he said, we've got plenty of guys on this team who have been through that kind of thing in their career. So that aspect of this was interesting from a guy who has had success at the highest levels. And then, of course, as always the case, it always goes back to Mitchell now with the Cavs. And George, I was sitting in Orlando, and I had followed the Cavs for a few games down the stretch of the regular season. And Donovan Mitchell wasn't playing, and I walked up to him right before we get to the locker room doors before one of the games in Orlando. I said, Donovan, this is the story I'm working on. Can I talk to you for a couple seconds? And he looks around and he's like, so what's it about? And I was saying, LeBron. And it was like mentioning the L word, like, you said LeBron. And he looks at me and he goes, big smile on his face. He goes, no, I'm good, man. And I said, okay. He goes, that means I'm not going to do it. I said, hey, Donovan, I got you. I understand. But it really, it's so funny to me because they've been dealing with this all season. They've been dealing with the questions, but it's just completely different once the playoffs start. They want to create their own legacy. And that's what JB Bickerstaff, the coach of the Cavs, told me several times. We know what LeBron accomplished. We appreciate the history that came before us. But this team is ready to do and build its own thing.
It's an especially interesting through line because you're talking about a team trying to get out of the shadow of one of the greatest players of all time. A shadow, by the way, that does touch on their new star a little bit, because Donovan Mitchell was one of the people at the Boys and Girls Club in Connecticut during the decision when LeBron announced his intention to leave Cleveland for Miami the first time. So truth continues to be stranger than fiction, I guess. But after the break, we'll look at some real-world testing of that Cavs roster construction in the NBA playoffs.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Okay, Nick, so we've talked about the Cavaliers, but now I want to touch on their first-round opponent, the New York Knicks, and you certainly have a ton of familiarity with their head coach, Tom Thibodeau. And we know that our colleague Stephen A. Smith, obviously, is interested in this particular matchup. Beating Cleveland and Donovan Mitchell is all that matters here to him.
If the New York Knicks get sent home by Donovan Mitchell, the season is a failure. You cannot lose to Donovan Mitchell. You can lose to anybody else. You can't lose to the player that had his bags packed, that wanted to be in New York, that was expecting to be in New York, that was salivating to play at the Garden.
How big of a storyline is that dynamic in this series?
It's huge. It is just huge. Because, George, go back to last summer. So many people around the league thought, this is done. Everybody thought that Mitchell would land in New York, but everybody thought that Mitchell was the right fit for New York, that he had the type of personality that could handle playing at the Garden, having the spotlight on him. He told our Brian Windhorst, I thought I was going. I thought it was going to happen. But instead of Donovan Mitchell, they land with Jalen Brunson. And that is a match made in basketball heaven, if you're a Knicks fan. As far as the Mitchell part of this goes, the Knicks could be on a completely different path now had they been the ones to send all of their picks and some of their players to land Donovan Mitchell. But I would argue, George, not just seeing the way things have played out early in this series and throughout the season, I think the Knicks are actually in a much better place moving forward than the Cavs are, because the Knicks still have that ability to potentially make the deal that the Cavs made. The Knicks have Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle, some young talented players behind them, and they've got all their own picks and their ability to potentially package those picks for a star of their own. So I think that any Knicks fan who still feels bad that they didn't land Mitchell, wait to see how this series plays out. And even more, wait to see how this summer plays out.
It's an excellent point. Cleveland obviously has utilized most of its assets in regards to making a big move. The New York Knicks can make that deal happen with the salaries and the young players that they have. They certainly have bigger moves potentially in store, whereas the Cavs would have to potentially move in the margins in that particular scenario. So what else are you looking at when you watch this series?
The big red flag after game one, George, to me, and it ties into everything we've been discussing. You know what Donovan Mitchell is going to do. He had 38 points in game one when they needed a basket, especially later in the game. There he was. You don't know who else is going to be behind him consistently. That player or players, Garland had an all right night, but those guys, they hadn't been through this before. And maybe in game two, it can snap back into place. But the depth was striking. And I know that that was one of the ways in which the Knicks felt like they had a little bit of an advantage coming into this series. The difference between these two teams moving forward is, for Cleveland, who is going to step up and help take some of that pressure off Mitchell, because he can't do it by himself. And for the Knicks, can you maintain the pressure that that bench is going to put on throughout the course of this series? Randall is still coming back from that ankle injury. Brunson was in foul trouble most of the first half in game one, but really came along at the end. They outscored the Cavs bench 37-14. Do RJ Barrett and Quickly play a little bit better? If that's the case, the Knicks, who were already confident coming into this series, are going to be running out of Cleveland beaming with pride, because they felt like they had the talent to win it, and they are proving early on here that is indeed the case.
How do you view the coaching matchup?
I've covered Tibbs for about 15 years now. Man, that is crazy. Because when I walk into these arenas still, he just looks at me like, what the hell are you doing here? Do I really have to deal with you again after all these years? But when you have Tom Thibodeau, who's been in the playoffs and in big games for years and years and years, you can't help but think that there's an advantage there. For as solid as J.B. Bickerstaff is, and for as much as his players seem to respect him, there is a learning curve for any coach. It is tough when you walk into your first playoff game and you're looking around and you're feeling that intensity for the first time. I think that's an adjustment for JB, just like it was for his players. That is the difference to me. You've got one guy who has won titles as an assistant, who has been through all these different battles as a head coach for a decade plus now. And you've got another guy who is learning on the fly what it takes to win in these big games.
Like clockwork, Knicks fans took to the streets of Manhattan following their win.
We went in there five, you feel me? That's how I'm feeling right
now. Man, out of here, we sweeping the Cavs. Light work.
Go New York,
yeah. Go New York.
Knicks in three.
So assuming that the NBA isn't going to follow their advice to wrap up the series in three games, what do the Cavs need to do differently in game two, Nick?
They've got to find some way not to allow Randall to get going early on. George, he was moving a lot better than I thought he would on an ankle that had kept him out about 3 weeks. I think you've got to be even more physical. The Knicks not only played with no fear and were tougher, all the loose balls, any extra possession, they kept finding a way to get those. And they kept having these difference-making plays, as we saw with Julius Randle getting that offensive rebound with less than 10 seconds left.
If they shoot, you must get the defensive board. Brunson trying to break down the defense. Hoist the jumper. It's off the mark. Randle got the offensive rebound. Now the Cavs have to foul.
Right.
And they foul Grimes with 4 seconds to go. Huge offensive rebound by Randle. And now Grimes can make it a four-point game.
This Knicks team just seemed to want it a little bit more. They weren't afraid of the moment. If you're the Cavs, you've got to watch that tape and you've got to remind yourself why you had all that success in the regular season. And you've got to learn from it. And that is a lot tougher to do under the spotlight of postseason basketball. And if that doesn't happen here soon, George, the series could be much faster than I think a lot of people predicted.
You mentioned earlier about the difference in experience in coaching. And even though it was only one series, there are a number of players on this Knicks roster who competed against Atlanta two seasons ago, and other guys on this roster who have previous experience from other teams, whether it's Josh Hart or Jalen Brunson specifically. So I am curious to see how that unfolds and that potentially benefits them as the series progresses. At the end here, Nick, we talked about legacy earlier when it came to Cleveland. Is getting the four seed in Mitchell's first season enough, or do they need to get past the Knicks?
They need to get past the Knicks, George. No doubt in my mind about it. Because if you have made this deal for Donovan Mitchell and you believe that you have a team that can push towards the top, what does it say if you get beat by the team that wanted Mitchell desperately, didn't get him, and still beat you? I think the amount of hurt that it would cause the collective ego of this Cavs franchise would be a lot, because the Knicks are going to get better. Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson playing together with so many of those younger guys, they're going to add another piece. They're going to be right there. George, Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, they're a cut above Cleveland and the Knicks already. So that is a really tough road ahead. If you get to the playoffs, you have this fun regular season, and then you get bounced by the team that was right behind you. I think this is a huge next couple weeks for the Cavs, because they have got to prove to themselves more than anybody else that this is the team that can continue to win, improve, and push ahead. They put all their chips in, or a whole hell of a lot of them, to get Donovan Mitchell. If he can't get him out of the first round, I think you've got a lot bigger questions ahead for a group that was feeling so good about itself coming into the postseason.
And for Mitchell, I would imagine it would be very much of what he's already been dealing with when he was in Utah. I would imagine you would know best that he specifically would want to move past this first round, even if it is only his first year.
George, I think it is a great point. The whole reason Donovan Mitchell, in part, you heard about the speculation dating back a year ago, because he couldn't get out of the first round. We know that Donovan Mitchell is a really good player. We know that he can score a lot of points. We don't know if he's the type of playoff leader that can make everyone else around him better and carry a team through the series. It hasn't happened. Until it does, those questions are going to linger. And as we come full circle here for the Cavs, you have acquired a player that everybody seems to really like, who has done a lot of good things for you on the floor. But if you don't win this series, how many questions are you going to have to answer about, well, what happens if in a year Donovan wants out? Well, what if he doesn't want to stay? It feels like all the momentum that you push together could come crumbling apart if you can't at least get through this first round. That's the way it goes in the NBA. That's what happens when you make these kind of trades. But that is why it is so tricky right now for the Cavs, and why everything hinges on what happens in this series.
And he only got out of the first round once in Utah and asked out there. So certainly something to keep an eye on as this thing evolves in this series and perhaps even beyond. Nick Friedell, you're the best, pal. Thank you.
I enjoyed the maiden voyage, buddy. Great work.
Good to have you aboard on the main voyage, Nick. Thanks again. I'm Jordan Sedano. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.